Holy Spirit declaring the wonders of God. And the verse that particularly struck me as I reflected on this passage, I've preached this passage goodness knows how many times over the years. And sometimes I think, well, is there anything new to be said? And of course, as you reflect in the presence of God, it's as if there's always something fresh that he would bring to us. We hear them declaring the wonders of God in our own tongue. Those who were from far away were able to understand, to comprehend the magnificence of God in a way that they understood. When the day of Pentecost came, they were all together in one place. Suddenly a sound like the blowing of a violent wind came from heaven and filled the whole house where they were sitting. They saw what seemed to be tongues of fire that separated and came to rest on each of them. All of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. When the day of Pentecost came, let's just reflect on this for a moment. When the day of Pentecost came, there are three key elements to understanding the day of Pentecost. The first is this: Pentecost, the festival, the celebration of Pentecost, was the 50th day since Passover. At Easter, Good Friday, we have Passover, and then on the second day of Passover, on the next day, they would begin counting. They would count 49 days, 7 weeks, and then on the 50th day, they would celebrate Passover. And every day between Passover and Pentecost, they would have to count the days. 1, 2, 3, 4, all the way. And on Pentecost, they would have to count all the way to 49. And then the 50th day, the celebration of Pentecost. Why did they do that? They did that because it was the 50th day since Passover, the day when they experienced, they saw God's magnificent act of salvation and deliverance. You remember the account of Passover, when the people of God, the Israelites, were slaves in Egypt. And Moses was sent to Pharaoh, "Let my people go." And Pharaoh, he said no. Eventually, he began to say yes, but then kept on taking his word back. And then Moses told the people of God, "Tonight, you're to go into your homes. And once you're in your homes, you're not to leave your homes. You are to take a lamb. And if you haven't got a lamb for yourself, then share one with your next door neighbor. You are to kill the lamb and prepare to eat it. But take the blood of the lamb and spread it across the lintel and the doorposts of your house." And that night, the angel of death passed over Egypt. And all the firstborn died. But the Israelites were saved. And at Passover, every year they had this festival to remember God's magnificent act of salvation and deliverance. So on the day of Pentecost, they would count 50 days. This is the 50th day since our great act of salvation and deliverance. The second reason that we need to note about Pentecost, it was the celebration of the giving of the law. In the story of the Israelites, they had been set free from slavery in Egypt. They had made their way through the Red Sea miraculously. They should have died at the Red Sea. But Moses, by the power of God, separated the waters of the Red Sea. They all made their way through the Red Sea into the wilderness. You know, some people make a big deal of the fact, some people would like to translate. You know the story about the Red Sea, don't you? Yeah. But some people might say, "Oh no, it was the Reed Sea." And there are possibilities within translation that Moses and the Israelites crossed the Reed Sea, and it was actually quite shallow. That is a possibility in translation. The interesting thing is that if it was the Reed Sea, that the miracle was that the entire Egyptian army drowned in shallow water. Yeah, so I'd rather go with the Red Sea. Moses parts the water and they're able to go through. And then for them, 50 days after they'd be, after Passover, they are giving the Ten Commandments in the wilderness. So at Pentecost each year, 50 days since God's magnificent act of salvation and deliverance, now we also celebrate the giving of the law, the Ten Commandments. This is God's way to live. We now see, we now have understanding of how we can live together. The third significant thing about Pentecost, it was the beginning of the harvest. It was the beginning of the harvest. And why is that important? It's the reminder. We were delivered, God's magnificent act of salvation and deliverance. We've been told how we can live. But they had come into a new land. And the fruitfulness of the land meant that God's promise was true. We can live here, and more than survive, we can thrive here. And so at Pentecost, they would bring loaves of bread. The harvest has begun to be gathered, and we're making bread with it. And that was their sign. It's the beginning of the harvest. It was a great day of great rejoicing. When the day of Pentecost came, three reasons that we have there. God's magnificent act of salvation and deliverance, Passover. The giving of the law. We know now how to live. And God's promises, they're coming true. The harvest, we see it. What we also read in those opening verses of Acts chapter 2 is they saw what seemed to be tongues of fire. Tongues of fire coming upon all of the believers who were gathered there. And as we have reflected recently on fire, when it's a reference to the Holy Spirit, it is the purifying presence of the Holy Spirit. God declaring, I am holy. I am taking you and I am separating you out. You are now mine. And you will live for me. And I will purify you inside and out. So there was the fire. It's the day of Pentecost. Great day of celebration. There is the fire that they see. The purifying presence of the Holy God. And then all of them were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit enabled them. Now, we're not going to spend time discussing charismatic gifts and the gift of tongues and interpretations and all this kind of stuff. And, you know, all that is great fun. It's great fun, particularly the debates is great fun. But it doesn't actually get you very far. Some of you might speak in tongues and have that gift, that grace gift of praising God in a language that is not your own. That's great. But what happened here was that the disciples began to declare the wonders of God. Another way that I would prefer to translate this is the disciples declared the magnificence of God in such a way that other people, foreigners, understood what was being declared. But I wonder, what might those wonders of God be? We're not told. Acts chapter 2 doesn't say, oh, they sang a hymn and the first verse was about creation. The second verse was all about, you know, the Garden of Eden. The third verse was about Abraham. You know, the fourth verse, they could sing a very long, can you imagine? You know, very, very long hymn. And it would have been great. The wonders of, what were the wonders of God? That they would sing out, that they would speak out this Pentecost day. What might those wonders of God be? What was it that the disciples declared? What did the Holy Spirit inspire in them? And here's the thing, if the Holy Spirit fills you as he filled the disciples on the day of Pentecost, what would the Holy Spirit inspire in you? Might the Holy Spirit cause you to declare, to live out the wonders of God, to live out the magnificence of God in your everyday life. You know, sometimes we might think about what happened at Pentecost and think of it as a supernatural event. And we understand, if I talked about Pentecost as a supernatural event, we'd understand, I think we'd all understand what I meant. I wonder whether we should call it a natural event. When the Holy Spirit came, he enabled the disciples to do what they should do naturally. He set them free to be the people that God had always meant them to be. And I wonder whether if the Holy Spirit comes upon us and fills us and we allow God to fill us with his presence, to lavish his love deeply into our hearts and souls, I wonder whether, rather than it being a supernatural event, it will just help us to be who God's always intended us to be. And God will help us, the Holy Spirit will help us to declare the wonders, the magnificence of God. Not perhaps in any surprising way, but just in a beautiful, wonderful, simple way that other people understand. The disciples declare the wonders of God. And I wonder, what might those wonders be? What was the magnificence of God that they wanted to speak about? Now, I'm going to put up on the screen a passage from the Old Testament. And you're going to go, why on earth is Ed going there? You know, when I was doing the Bible study and reflecting on this passage, you know, this particular connection happened. And I went through to Sarah and said, Sarah, she had her iPad, you know, get your Bible, let's look it up, Acts 2, and this other passage. Can you see what I can see? And I didn't want to carry on. I just wanted to go, ooh, I have never seen this before. Okay. Passage in the Old Testament from Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy 11 begins, love the Lord your God, keep his requirements, his decrees, his laws, and his commands always. What's that a reference to? Think about Pentecost. Law. Okay? Second thing. Remember today that your children were not the ones who saw and experienced the discipline of the Lord your God, his magnificence, his mighty hand, his outstretched arm, the signs he performed and the things he did in the heart of Egypt, both to Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and to his whole country. But what he did to the Egyptian army, to its horses and chariots, how he overwhelmed them with the waters of the Red Sea as they were pursuing you, how the Lord brought lasting ruin on them. If the opening sentence is a reference to law, what's the next bit about? Think Pentecost. What are the magnificent things that he did? The wonders of God. In Egypt, what was it? Deliverance. Passover. Okay. And Moses is saying, it wasn't your children who saw it. Who saw it? You saw it. You're the ones who saw what God has done. You, today, you are the ones. We are the ones who have experienced the magnificence of God. The wonders of God. But it gets better. It was not your children who saw what he did for you in the desert when you arrived at this place, what he did to Dathan and Abiram, sons of Eliab, the Reubenite, when the earth opened its mouth right in the middle of all Israel and swallowed them up with their households, their tents, and every living thing that belonged to them. And I don't know if you remember this story, but it was a declaration of the holiness of God. This particular family had stood against the holiness of God. And he said, I'll purify you. And they were swallowed up. So in Pentecost, they're celebrating the law. They're celebrating the deliverance of God. They're celebrating the purifying presence of God. And in Deuteronomy 11, Moses says to the people, it wasn't your children who saw this. It was you. It's you who have something to say about what God has done. But it was your own eyes that saw all these great things, these magnificent things that the Lord has done. So in that passage, what do you have? You have obedience to the law. You have a way for living, God's way for living. Love God. Keep his commands. The passage actually goes on to say in Deuteronomy 11, if you keep the laws of God, then I will provide a harvest for you. What happened to it? It's Pentecost? What do they celebrate? The harvests. So we have here in Deuteronomy 11, obedience to the law. And then the reminder, it was you who saw God's magnificent act of salvation and deliverance. It was you who saw and experienced Passover, saved by the blood of a lamb. It was you who saw deliverance from certain death in the Red Sea, which is understood as a type of resurrection. And not only that, as we've said, it was you who experienced the holiness of God, the purifying presence of God. And that reminder, it was your own eyes that saw all these great, magnificent things that the Lord has done. Go back to Acts. The disciples declare the wonders of God. What were the wonders that they declared? What was it that they were able to speak out in ways that all the listeners were able to understand? What was it that the Holy Spirit inspired in them? I suggest very simply, and you've probably got it already, the death of Jesus. They would have declared the magnificence of God in the death of Jesus, saved by the blood of the Lamb. They would have declared the magnificence of God in the resurrection of Jesus, deliverance from death. They would have declared the magnificence of God, the wonders of God, and the purifying presence of the Holy Spirit as the Holy Spirit came like fire upon them. And why were they out there declaring the wonders of God? It was because they understood what Deuteronomy said. It was your own eyes that saw the magnificence of God. It was us that saw it. It wasn't our children. It wasn't anybody else. But we were there. We saw the cross. We experienced resurrection as Jesus came to us. We saw these things. And we can do nothing else than declare the magnificence of God in ways that everyone understands. And the encouragement for us today is now be filled with the Holy Spirit, that you too may declare the magnificence of God. What is it that you've experienced of the magnificence of God? Sometimes it's good to hear people's story. We used to call it their testimony. Where people relate their journey of faith, their spiritual journey. And they highlight the different points in their lives where God spoke to them, where God encouraged them, where God lifted them up, where God gave new direction, where God blessed them, where God, they experienced God's love and kindness and mercy and forgiveness, and where they messed up, but they knew God was there for them. What is it that God has done for you? That is the magnificence of God. It was your eyes that saw the magnificence of God. And the gift of the Spirit is to enable us to declare that magnificence in very ordinary ways, that we might be as natural as God ever intended us to be. So maybe we won't jump up and down and shout and scream, but we will be the very people that God always intended us to be. God Who is like you? There is no one like God who does magnificent things. Right at the beginning of the service, I put this up. You are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a people belonging to God, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. May we know the blessing of God today. What we're going to do is this, and I recognise our church is not really set up very well for response, but what we're going to do is this. In a few moments, we're going to sing, All My Days. Well, no, let's put the words up so you can see that. I will sing this song of gladness, which picks up the theme of declaring the wonders and the magnificence of God. But I'm going to stand over here somewhere. And it might be that you would like just a word of blessing personally upon you. My encouragement to you is to stand up, get up from where you are, come over, and I will pray a simple prayer of blessing on you. Sometimes we need to actually say, I'm responding. And today, my encouragement is, respond. Be filled afresh with the Holy Spirit, that you may declare the wonders of God.